Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. This is Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 90s. On KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And here we go for another exciting season, a new season here on KFOX of the Astrology Hour. We always start another season, a fresh season after my vacation. And of course, whenever I have a birthday, then I have a vacation because I don't like to work during my birthday. Isn't that weird? 10th house son doesn't like to work during his birthday. What does that tell you? But I'm back, and I'm glad there's no war yet. But as part of our show today, in case you have any questions about the Mideast crisis astrologically, then because I'm not doing readings today, the lines will be open. And that might be one of the issues we can discuss, the metaphysical ramifications behind the crisis because of the Saturn and the Uranus and the Neptune conjunction in Capricorn. And with the recent transit of Mars through Aries, things getting fired up there. And now Mars going into Gemini, Bush's sign. Mars, the planet of war, in the sign of Gemini. So President Bush is all fired up about it. And, you know, as part of today's topic, we'll lead into it a little bit. But today's topic is called the Phoenix Syndrome. And we're not talking about Phoenix, Arizona either. Phoenix is the symbol of the bird that died and rose from the ashes and not only gained new life, but also gained incredible strength, incredible power, supernatural ability. I compare, when I think about the Phoenix, which is actually one of my own personal private, well, not any longer private, but one of my own personal spiritual definitions of myself, I kind of take a look at life and I kind of compare everything in life, especially the Christ experience that went on. The way Christ died on the cross and the way he resurrected, was risen after his death, came back from the dead. That to me is a Phoenix occurrence. If you've ever had an experience in your life where you feel like you're dying or you've almost died or you needed to go through a near-death experience, a lot of people right now, because of all the Capricorn transits, are going through some excruciating changes, especially people born in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and 60s. It sure does make up a whole bunch of us. But a lot of people do go through excruciating experiences that are like unto near-death experiences. Now, astrologically, we call this the Scorpio effect. And that is why I wonder why the true symbol of Scorpio, instead of being the scorpion or even the eagle, why it is not the phoenix, because it seems to really identify and define the Scorpio process more than ever. And all of you have Scorpio factors in your charts. You all have a planet, Pluto, for example, which is the lord of Scorpio, the ruling planet of Scorpio. But because Pluto is right there in the middle of Scorpio right now, which is a really scary place for it to be. In fact, this entire crisis with Iraq started when Mars and Pluto went opposition to each other, Mars in Taurus this last couple weeks, and Pluto in Scorpio. Pluto ruling life and death and the Phoenix effect. You know, oftentimes history in this planet, if you take a look at the patterns of history, the patterns of history have always been death and destruction or cataclysm or holocaust. And from that, I mean, if you just take a look at Germany and modern-day Japan, for example, two countries involved in World War II, of course, the countries that started the war, and they actually rose from the ashes themselves. And a lot of people look at this guy Hussein, and they say, well, this guy's nuts, this guy's crazy, you know, this guy's a lunatic, and he's out of his mind, and he's a new Hitler, and I've heard all kinds of things. But, you know, if there was a world war, and if it didn't destroy the whole world, then you'd have to think, because of the Phoenix effect that works in this dimension, that Iraq would eventually benefit. Just like Germany and Japan, of course, the price they paid in order to experience the growth and evolution was incredible because of the millions of people they lost in the war and their leaders, too, what they suffered. And of course, Hitler supposedly died, too, which is still a big question mark. But I personally don't believe that he died, but a lot of people do believe he did. But at the same time, look at what's happened to these countries. You got Germany. Someone told me that if you combined all the medals that East and West Germany won in the last Olympics, that they dwarfed the Soviet Union and the United States. You know, so this is a country that is to be reckoned with as far as power, at least as far as athletes go. And Japan, with their technology and their automobiles, it's quite incredible. You know, see, a lot of us are frightened to tackle life, to process karma, to embrace happiness, to let go of pain, to love the child within, to experience a loving, blissful state. You know why? Because we haven't dealt with our stuff. I was talking to my sister this morning about how I felt that she has dealt with her stuff, and she's gone through boot camp and basic training as a nurse and as a therapist, and she has a magnificent aspect of Jupiter in Cancer, trine her Scorpio moon, and my sister emotionally is probably one of the strongest people I've met. She's gone through enough of a Phoenix experience where she has risen from the ashes, and she also has actually never really been reduced to ashes because of her strength. But still, she's a survivor, and for that reason, she could probably put up and deal with more emotional energy and intensity than many of the rest of us can. Whereas myself, I seem to need to put myself through an emotional cataclysm of sorts and totally reach the pit of intense depression and fear and anger and hatred in order to feel like you're almost dead. And then, you know, obviously if you do survive that, then you do rise from that position and you you do evolve. And a lot of the recovering alcoholics and drug addicts that we have. And, you know, it is so frightening. I saw some of the specials they had on HBO about the crack epidemic and how even good children, you know, that are raised proper, that are actually, that we think are in such good shape, that are so well behaved, that are so centered and grounded and spiritual, even the best children are susceptible to this crack epidemic, which is so highly addictive. It's not anything you could really understand or compare to, because I've never tried it, and I don't think it's anything for anyone to experiment with, because they say, you know, that it does feel so good, that children are very susceptible to the feeling that it brings about. The problem is it's a very temporary, blissful, artificial experience that this crack stuff brings about. And what it does is it shackles a person. You have young girls, 11, 12-year-old girls, walking the streets in Florida as prostitutes trying to get money to pay for this stuff. And a couple months earlier, they were fine, well-balanced children. It makes you frightened to send your kids to school. My opinion is they should take some of these crack dealers and give them life sentences with no probation. That might cut it down a little bit. But I definitely, of course, have always associated drug addiction and alcoholism with entity interference and demonic possession. So what I think happens to these individuals is once they open their chakras up to this artificial state of consciousness, they actually get themselves possessed. Well, you know, there's all types of ways to kill yourself without dying. There's a whole series of ways for you as an individual or for the planet as entity to lead itself down the primrose path into destruction and into debilitation and into death-like experience in order to reach the Phoenix state. And not everybody reaches that Phoenix state. Some people just die. And some nations and some countries actually just die too, and they just disappear. But for whatever reason, the Phoenix syndrome does exist, and that we are given the choice to rise from the ashes. Of course, in the 12-step program, they call it bottoming out. They say if you're on drugs or alcohol, three things are going to happen, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe someone can correct me. You either will end up in jail, you'll end up dead, or you'll end up bottoming out, which means reduced to a shadow of your former self. So we take a look at the planet, for example, and we take a look at all these Aquarian transits that are happening, because right now we go through the martyr effects with Capricorn, where a lot of people are going through the suffering stages now. You know, somebody called me up this morning who was a Czechoslovakian, and they listened to the show, and they said, Farley, what about this Iraq situation? We're really nervous about it. Well, it's all part of the Capricorn factors that are going on to and through 1993, 1994, until Uranus and Neptune start pumping into Aquarius. Aquarius and Scorpio energy squared is the brightest definition I could find of this Phoenix syndrome, which is death, and then if you do survive the death, rising from the ashes. Because oftentimes when we talk about issues of karma, where people are supposed to be loving and spiritual and nourishing to themselves and the world, if people are not following these concepts, if people are not loving and spiritual and nourishing to themselves and the world, then what happens is they collect a force of negative energy into their soul's banks, and eventually this stuff gets compounded and explodes in a circus, in a vortex of pain and anxiety and suffering. That's what karma is all about. So if you're in a position of suffering, and if you do have anxiety, and if you're experiencing this explosion, then what that tells me, like I said before, is that you're not dealing with your stuff, which means you're headed towards the Phoenix. Like, you don't have to go into the Phoenix syndrome, but a lot of people, for whatever reason, maybe they have some Scorpio, some Taurus, some Leo, some Aquarius in their chart, or maybe they have some of this Capricorn, and they need to suffer, they need to martyr, and they need to experience that death-like experience. And you find people doing this all over the planet. There are people that are experiencing this death-like experience in prisons. They're doing it in hospitals. They're doing it on the streets. Some of the homeless and starving people. They're doing it in their family. Some of the child abuse and the wife abuse and all kinds of, child abuse is not just beating your children. Although beating your children is partially the child abuse, of course, too, or molesting them. But there's a lot of emotional, mental abuse going on. Oftentimes, the parents never, ever deal with their stuff, their karma. And so they end up having children, and they end up dumping all this negative energy from their own psychological problems. I don't know if you ever saw a parent that ever said they didn't need a therapist or they didn't believe in psychiatrists or shrinks. Meanwhile, everyone in their family, including themselves, is unbalanced, uncentered, has emotional, mental problems, physical problems, but they don't need a shrink, right? And they're the one dumping all the pain on everyone because they never processed their stuff from childhood. Now, people grow up and they have this false sense of security and they create this false armor, what we call also, in a psychological sense, the false ego. See, a lot of people have trouble being real. They have trouble being vulnerable. They have trouble being sensitive. So what they do is they develop these false personalities that lead them down this path to destruction, into the Phoenix syndrome, where you almost die, or at least seem to experience this death-like situation. And then if you're lucky, you do rise from the ashes. But a lot of people then even don't realize it. So they go back into what I call the compounded Phoenix. And it's like nuking yourself over and over and over again. Eventually, this person does end up either institutionalized or dead. But obviously, you tear your body apart, the temple of your soul, when you go through these processes, this Phoenix syndrome. You bash your brains and you bash your feelings. And meanwhile, you stress out your body and you create disease. And you might end up eating the wrong foods or consuming the wrong substances. And you beat up your vital organs. Then you open yourself up to entity interference, possible mild possession, possible severe possession. You know, I take a look at this planet today, and the problem with this planet is not a religious problem. It's a spiritual problem. If those people out there would just take a look, instead of following their leaders like sheep, if they would start taking a look at some of the soft, sensitive, loving, caring nature that is truly inside the child self, or the higher self of each individual, then there wouldn't be world leaders like Saddam Hussein who are so insecure they feel the need to control and overwhelm and dominate and manipulate millions of people that follow them like sheep because they're insecure and they need someone to follow like that. If you need to follow somebody, then that might say that you haven't dealt with your stuff, that you haven't dealt with your karma. And if you're one of those people that needs to follow a certain philosophy or a certain religion or a certain political concept, then that might say a lot about your own spirit and where it lies. Truly spiritual people that are in touch with love and that are in touch with light and that are in touch with bliss and happiness, that are in touch with being vulnerable and sensitive and caring and compassionate, people that know how to listen and know how to hug. Do you know, I'm reading a book right now called Healing the Child Within by, I believe, Charles Whitfield. And in that book, he says that the average individual needs an average of 12 hugs a day. Now, the question I might have for you here is, how many hugs are you behind? Today, I walked into the station at KFOX, and I tried to hug a couple of people. You can always tell when people are really hurting, when they don't have as much love as they could use, or when they're being phony, because they give you a phony hug. They give you sort of like a standoffish kind of arm's length type of hug. And then people that are really working on healing that child within, and working on overcoming the possibility of a Phoenix syndrome happening in their life, which happens all the time to people, that they'll give you a nice, warm, loving hug. You know, they'll care for you. They'll nourish you right back. It's like down deep, we're all each other's parents and we're all each other's children because, frankly, there just isn't enough love to go around in most of our childhoods. Another statistic I read was that, like, sometimes up to 90-95% of the people in the world did not receive adequate love in their lives, even though their parents thought they delivered adequate love, and even though they down deep might have thought they received it. In retrospect, when they take a look at their lives and take a look at what's happened in their lives, they come to grips with the fact that, you know, when they start dealing with their stuff, that they really are alone, which is okay to feel alone, and that they really are unhappy, and that they really didn't receive the love that they needed. Well, where can you get that love? Well, first of all, from loving people. If you hang around with people that like to hug you and listen to you and talk to you, well, God, you're going to get a whole lot of love and energy from those people all the time. If you're going to hang out with people that have time for you, right? And if you also have time for yourself, where you can learn to love that child within and visualize the symbol of that child that you have and take care of it, well, then, you know, you're on a road of spiritual growth. You're on a road of spiritual happiness. You're on a road to being a love practitioner. People call me up and they say, Farley, what should I do with my life? I need a career. You know what I think the best career for the 90s and for the 21st century is going to be? I think there's going to be a new type of career called love practitioner. Nothing to do with sex or romance, but just something that somebody that would be out there that would help people learn to love themselves and love others, and that would be experts by example truth, being beacons of strength and towers of love and power, because there's so many people out there that know nothing about it. We've talked about this before on the air, and obviously I believe that people that lack love and lack spirit and lack vulnerability are people that are headed into that Phoenix syndrome. I've seen it happen. I've seen people, have bottom out with their heart attacks and bottom out with their strokes and end up with the major surgeries and major problems with health, and people that just compound mental and emotional stress to create all kinds of negative energy in their lives around them with other people too. And the Phoenix syndrome happens to all kinds of people. You can see it everywhere. In fact, you can almost talk to any person you know and find out when they almost died or felt like they were going to die or when they reached the bottom of their life, what happened and how they rose from the ashes. And they'll tell you. And those that won't tell you they've done that are either lying or they never bottomed out yet. But they will one day. Or maybe they have secretly or privately. Or maybe they're into denial and they don't want to admit that they bottomed out. Some people will have a bypass surgery and a heart attack and they'll write it off as no big deal. Somebody said, why not put a zipper in there and zip down and zip it up and zip it down and just keep changing those arteries around like they're spare parts? And let's not worry about the cause of that stuff. But human beings on this planet do not have to suffer and do not have to go through Phoenix syndrome, and the planet does not have to be thrown into world war at all. Can you believe how good everything was going? Even though Elizabeth Clare Prophet all along was telling us there'd be a problem with Iraq, a possible nuclear war, and she dug in Montana with all of her followers, everybody else was laughing because the Eastern Bloc was disarming and the Soviets were into their perestroika thing. And East Germany is being unified with West Germany and all kinds of weird, wild transformations, reformations, and crusades are going on and humanity's winning, spirit's winning. But then all of a sudden, this thing in the Middle East hit. Well, you know what? That tells me that the world as entity has not dealt with its stuff. It has not dealt with its karma. Some of these people, some of their philosophies, some of their behavior patterns on this planet, some of these militaristic countries that have built up huge armies with huge reservoirs of tanks and missiles and planes that would actually dwarf. You know, someone told me, I read it, that Saddam Hussein has a force that is larger than all the tanks that were used in North Africa between Patton and Rommel. Can you believe that? We're talking about some of the largest tank battles in history, and this guy has more tanks than Patton and Rommel. I'm not trying to frighten you with that, but what I am trying to tell you is that we are on the periphery, we are in the gateway right now, of either heading into a Phoenix syndrome, not only on a personal level, because a lot of people are there now, but also on a planetary level. And every time there's been a world war, notice the world has risen from the ashes. So this planet has already been thrown into a double Phoenix in this century. And this is 1990 now, and one wonders if we're not ready for the Donnybrook of all Phoenix syndrome. What a lot of people are not aware of, that if there is a war between Iraq and the United States and the United Nations, that eventually some of the other Middle Eastern Arab nations may side with Iraq because of a cultural thing. When you start getting that sort of thing to happen, whether they believe in Hussein's policies or not, it's a matter of defending the Arabian cause. So, you know, we could have the world versus the Middle East coming up here if this thing is not brought to an end. My opinion now is that I'm a little nervous about Mars going into Gemini, because Mars being the planet of war, going into President Bush's sign, he's already a Scorpio rising, so he's a phoenix all the way, right? He might be one of those guys that needs to die and rise from the ashes too, even in his own political career. Not death as far as physically, but as far as politically. So, you know, I'm a little nervous about all this going on because we might have a battle of egos here. A lot of people out there are saying, well, what about Kuwait? Like, why don't we just leave everything alone and not have a war? Yeah, well, you know what's going on in Kuwait right now? There's a tremendous amount of humanitarian blasphemy that's going on in that city. People are being killed in that country right now, left and right. There's all kinds of terrible things that are going on to the people of a very gentle nation, Kuwait. So maybe it is the part of this planet to go in there and defend, to draw the line, and to stop the aggression now. Because if this guy thinks he can go in and take over Kuwait, or maybe he thinks he can go in and take over the whole world, and if the United States doesn't do something about it, and the United Nations doesn't do something about it, well, this guy might have control of the whole Middle East and all the oil, and then he'll have the world by the throat when he raises his prices to $150 a barrel, which means you're going to be paying $10 a gallon for gas, which means when you fill up your car, you're talking $100 or more. Not to speak about recession, depression, whatever else this will do to the American economy. This whole crisis happened at the wrong time. But, you know, this is nothing new. If you listen to the Astrology Hour for years, you've known that we've talked about the Great Recession and Depression that is possible in 1990 if there's not a spiritual healing on this planet. And you've also noticed that we've talked about the possibilities of world war, even though we weren't specific with where it might happen. Now we know. Well, people say, Farley, why the Phoenix now? What is the big deal with the Phoenix now? Why not... last year, why not 10 years ago, why not 15 years? Why are we dealing with this energy now? What's the point? Well, I'll tell you what the point is. Whenever a planet gets to the middle of a sign, then it kind of forces the chips. It kind of forces the bet. A middle of a sign being 15 degrees. Pluto is the lord of Scorpio, and it just started going 15 Scorpio recently. In the Sabian symbols, it says, the 15th degree of Scorpio, which is probably one of the more powerful degrees, is, as the eagle soars, the mind takes wing to new heights. The duality of evil and goodness is balanced tenuously. So we're going into a balance between good and evil right now with this thing with Scorpio. Something else that we must note is that with Neptune moving really close there, Neptune is at 12 degrees Capricorn right now, and it will be coming into 15 Capricorn in the next 12 months, and 15 Capricorn talks about a perusal of destructive factors of plans for future, a loyalty beginning for leaders of new age, a look toward the new generation. So we're right in the periphery of either a phoenix occurrence, which would be a world war, or some kind of divine intervention which would stop it. You know, I'm not about to fly over there and negotiate with Saddam Hussein and try to deliver spirit to him because he thinks all Americans are infidels. Which is what actually a common Muslim philosophy is, that a lot of Americans, a lot of people on this planet are infidels because they don't believe in God the way they should. They don't practice. They don't have any ethics. In their eyes, we're the enemy. In our eyes, they're the lunatic. He's the lunatic. But you got to step into their shoes now here and see what their points of view are to understand exactly what this Phoenix situation is all about. I like the Phoenix, except the Phoenix can be dangerous. Because of the power that is promoted from the rebirth, from the rise from the ashes. They also call the phoenix the fire bird, and not by accident, because ashes, meaning fire, means that usually the death that is created from the phoenix syndrome usually has to do with burning or explosions, like nuclear weapons and stuff. And I'd hate to think that the planet Earth would have to be susceptible to that sort of thing, even though President Bush has brought cruise missiles to the Middle East, so we do have nuclear weapons in the Middle East right now, and they are pointed towards Iraq. I don't know if you knew that or not, but yeah, that's what a cruise missile is. So, it's pretty exciting times. I prefer to take a look at the world situation right now with enthusiasm, with confidence, with love, and with light. I'm excited about the fact that the world is changing. And I would like to surround the planet and all the people on it with love and light and pray that the spirit will win out. But knowing how the universe works and knowing how karma works, if individuals don't take care of their karma and if they don't take care of their stuff and it compounds, what are their choices? Once again, death or bottoming out, right? Or depression. and the Phoenix Syndrome. So we are in the periphery of living in a time where we can experience dramatic changes in Earth history within 12 to 48 months or 60 months. And that's why I said before Uranus and Neptune reaches Aquarius, the fighting must be ceased, the weapons must be disarmed, and the hostilities must come to an end in order to prevent us from going into any other kind of hostile or catastrophic experience. I have confidence and I have hope for the future on this planet, because I believe that no matter what happens, that there'll still be pockets of serenity, and there'll still be islands of tranquility, and there'll still be mountains and streams and rivers and countrysides that will be filled with hope and happiness and faith and bliss. It's important for us to find those areas. It's like the Middle East may not be the best place to live right now, or Mauritania or Liberia or Nicaragua or certain places, but still in all, I do have faith and hope that the spirit of God and the spirit of man and women united, bonded together, the oneness, the love that is there will rise above and conquer, because I believe that love conquers all and good wins ought over evil. That's my own philosophy. That's my mindset. But I also respect and understand that the definition of the phoenix does exist and is real on this planet, in this realm, this dimension. And isn't that funny? I guess I understand why they named that city Phoenix, Arizona, because it's so darn hot there that I think that city's always rising from the ashes. The Phoenix Syndrome, a welcome back topic here on KFOX 93.5. This is Astrological Metaphysical Radio. My name is Farley Mallorys, and we are here, excitingly so, I'm really proud as heck to say that we give you a half-hour commercial-free talk radio. I'm a talk radio buff. I listen to KABC and KNX and KFWB and all of them, and I'm sick to death of all the commercials I hear, and that's why as a talk show host and a producer of this show, I intentionally go 30 minutes without it, because I think people are tired. If you want to turn somebody onto this radio show, just say, would you like to listen to some commercial-free radio? We got a talk show here that goes a half-hour commercial-free that people go, yeah? But the reason why we're allowed to do that is because we have a magnificent following of some of the most loving people in the universe that support the show.